Can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi. This is Dee Blick. Welcome to Lead Well, Live Well for UK Health Radio.
Hello and welcome to Lead Well, Live Well with me, Dee Blick, for UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. Thank you for joining us today. It's lovely to have your company. Now, in the studio today, I have a woman who is an absolute powerhouse in the marketing field with a savvy business head. And I had a heart of gold. If you look at the post from her staff on LinkedIn, you'll see how highly she's regarded by her team members. She founded a marketing business, Amber Mountain Marketing. And in recent months, she's launched an initiative called Mint, Marketers in Need of Therapy. And I recently spoke at it from the big screen. So a warm welcome to the show, Emma Ellis. It's great to have you here.
Hello, and thank you for having me, Dee.
Oh, now we're going to start because I actually love the name of the business, but what made you start your own marketing business? Because it's a pretty huge undertaking being your own boss, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. I had a marketing career in healthcare and I was helping a big corporate business. And then when the children were young, I just did a bit of consultancy. I left that. I wanted to be close to my children, but I also wanted to work at the same time. And I helped a few smaller businesses. And actually what I got the passion for is seeing how just those small differences with marketing can make not only a difference to their business, but to them and to them as a person. And that's the bit that made me think, well, actually, one of them said, you need to go and help other people do this. So that's kind of how Amber Mountain started, really. I wanted to help those smaller businesses that didn't really understand marketing. And also when I was a marketing manager in roles, the agencies that I worked with weren't really personable, and I couldn't find those kind of agencies. So I wanted to be a different type of agency for businesses as well. You know, it's people come first, in my opinion. So that's kind of why Amber Mountain was set up.
Yeah, I really like that. I didn't realise, obviously, we've not chatted in depth before, but I didn't realise that you started the business at a really classic marketing. You identified a need and you also identified a market, which is small businesses. And I was just the same when I had my kids. I'd got this big, fancy, sparkly, spangly job up in London, and there was no way that I could continue with that and the nights away with two young kids. And that's what really drove me to start my business. And like you, I identified that small businesses were not being served by so many marketers. And yet, as we'll explore further in the show, they've often got a rich and varied story to tell. But they also have a perception that agencies charge telephone numbers. So I think it's great. I never realised, obviously, we haven't spoken at length, but it's just incredible that we share that same mission, which is, I guess you still have it now. You haven't got so big that now you're not looking at smaller businesses. Where do you sit on that now?
Yeah, we still have small businesses that we work with, for sure. And I think as we've grown, we have kind of attracted bigger businesses with those marketing managers. That it's kind of the same thing, really, to support those marketing managers. But we are definitely still looking at the small businesses. I have apprentices in the business that I train to make it more cost effective for the smaller businesses. And fortunately, in the world where we are with social media, apprentices are already experts in social media when they come and work for me. So it's a quick win really from that perspective. But yeah, as we've grown, we have got bigger businesses on board too. But yeah, I also always offer out mentoring for those small businesses, and we do events as well locally to help them, because they're the ones that need it the most for sure.
Oh, I agree. And I think I totally agree with you. And what I'd like to do now is maybe pivot and talk about the challenges that you faced when you were starting your agency, because I had absolutely loads, most of them in my head, fear. But I want to know what really did you come up against when you started Amber Mountain Marketing?
Definitely imposter syndrome and fear. Yeah, 100%. And it was really, really, really scary. But also, I'm a marketer. I didn't know how to run a business. I've never been a business owner before. And actually, what I've kind of established is quite a lot of business owners are winging it. But it is really, that was the bit that was really hard. So yeah, for me, I found a network really early on that can kind of help support me. And there's a few people within that network that were starting out like me and have grown along the way, and they've become very good friends. So yeah, that was the biggest challenge. And it is really hard to understand how to run a business, and the highs and lows that come with that I found quite challenging. Still do, to be honest with you. It's a roller coaster for sure. So yeah, that's probably my biggest challenge.
I find imposter syndrome, it's really interesting, because I write for quite a few publications, and I find that when I start sharing about things like imposter syndrome, people share back, because not only does it make you relatable, it makes people realise I'm not on my own. And I just wondered, for me, imposter syndrome has always been, have I really done that? So a classic example, I've just been booked to do this TEDx talk, and part of me is thinking, have they really got the right person? And I even said to the organizer, are you sure it's me that you want to speak? That, yeah, absolutely, Dee. And I've had that imposter syndrome all my life. I just wondered for you, how does your imposter syndrome, I can't get my words out, how does your imposter syndrome show up for you?
Yeah, it definitely shows up that I don't know. I think I'm not an expert in that field, or do I know enough? Or actually, the fact is what you've just said, Dee. Are you sure you've got the right person? But I've done a lot of mindset stuff to really work on that, because at the end of the day, I everything changes in marketing so fast. No one can be an expert in everything, and it's just about making sure that you're really keeping up with what's going on and giving it the best you got. And you know what, it's okay to say, actually, I don't know the answer to that, but I will go and find out, dear. I absolutely will, and that's what's important.
I love that. I love the I don't know and I'll find out. And I've done that most of my life. If I think, well, I should know because I'm a marketer and I'm being asked a question that sits squarely in my area of expertise, then I will definitely go away and look it up. But if I don't, I'm quite happy now to say, haven't got a clue, but let me get back to you. And that's confidence as well as we grow as business women. And we talked about challenges, but what are the unexpected rewards that you've enjoyed from being your own boss? Because there are many, aren't there? And I just wonder, what are the things that really make your heart sing? And
yeah, I think I've always been able to do whatever I needed to do for my children. So that is the biggest thing for sure. But I think the thing that's really, I really wasn't expecting is how, when I've done something for a team member or seen them grow or something like that, the win I get from that, or a win, obviously, if we've done something for a client, and it's changing their life. That for me has been the biggest thing about being my own boss. I've been able to enrich a lot of other people's lives, and that makes me feel really, really good, to be honest with you.
I love that. I mean, all the things you mentioned there, watching your team grow, your children, being there for your kids and for your clients. I think it's just wonderful, because that way of thinking propels you out of bed on a morning, and it makes you want to achieve, because you're not making it all about you. You're actually sharing your sparkles and spangles for the benefit of others. Now, we've got a couple of minutes to the first ad break, so I want to ask you, do you ever struggle with thinking like a marketer and being a CEO? Because you're responsible for bringing in the business and taking some tough decisions, aren't you?
Yes, I would say I struggle with this daily, if I'm being totally honest. As I said, not running a business before is hard, and you go into it as a marketer, and I know how to market and I know how to put it out there. But actually, do I know how to sell? Do I know how to run operations? Finance is a big thing that's always been a hard one for me. And then you've got to recruit as well and get the right team in there. So yeah, I think that sometimes you're not doing any marketing at all, and that's when actually it can get me down a bit, Dee, if I'm not getting involved in the marketing strategies of our clients or ourselves. So yeah, it's a real struggle of making sure that you've still got that marketing expertise and being a marketer, but also running a business that is successful. So yeah, I think it's a daily struggle for me, if I'm being totally honest.
I mean, I just wonder, do you ever, because I mean, I don't have employees. I launched a small agency years ago, and I really struggled with managing people. It really isn't my skill set. So I take my hat off to you. But does the enormity of the fact that you are the boss ever, do you ever think, oh my word, I've got to pay the bills, I've got to pay the salary? Does it ever sort of play havoc in your head that the buck stops with you?
Yes. Always. And yeah, that's the thing. It's not even about paying my bills. It's about I'm responsible for other people's bills now. That's how I feel. People have got mortgages that are working for me. So, but actually, I think that just drives me even more, because it's not about me. It's about a team of us, and I won't let them down. So that's kind of what drives me to really push as a business owner, I think.
I love that. I mean, you're a really ethical business leader. Now, don't go away. We're going to have a short break. And after the break, I'm going to be talking to Emma about how does she manage to be a leader, to mentor her team and go out socially, and still they're all really happy and working incredibly well together. What's the formula? Back in a minute.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show with the fabulous Emma Ellis, the founder of Amber Mountain Marketing, with me, Dee Blick, Lead Well, Live Well. Now, Emma, welcome back. And I wanted just to chat to you about projects and wins, because I used to work with agencies up in London back in the 80s when I was a young girl. And goodness me, they were sort of not hand to mouth, but they really had to keep the projects coming in. And boy, when they got big projects, they celebrated. I just wondered, have you had one big win that's really put your agency on the map, or has it been a series of smaller wins?
Yeah, we grew pretty fast at the beginning. I think the fact that I was bringing apprentices into the business was a bit of a USP for the local area for sure. And we went for an award for the best apprenticeship program in Hertfordshire, and we won it, which was great. But actually, what happened is I didn't realize there was an overall award at the end of the night for all the winners. I didn't even know that was a thing. It was very new to me. And we were up against people like Sky Studios, which is at the Harry Potter Studios. It was a big event, and we won it. And I was absolutely blown away. And it was just the story, I told the story of Amber Mountain, and that's what they said. It was just very, inspirational, and that's what won it. So that's what put us on the map. We were on the front cover of this big magazine that went round locally. Lots of interviews, lots of people wanting to work with us, and that was the biggest win. But it didn't happen overnight. That was a good 3 to 4 hard years of work before I thought, I'm going to try that award and see what happens. And yeah, it blew up for us. So that was just the biggest win, I think, and that was the game changer for us for sure.
Yeah, oh, it sounds amazing. And I just wonder, what are your favorite projects? So you go out to pitch to a client. What are the sort of projects that really fire you up and make you think, I really want this one?
I think you probably would have guessed it, Gadi, but it's the ones that are making changes in this world for the good. So, you know, there's quite a lot of charities that we work with. We've got a legal firm that deals with domestic abuse, and they're changing the way people are helped with that. So for me, it's the ones that have got that fire in their belly to kind of change the world and make it a different place. They're the ones that really stand out for me, for sure.
It sounds fantastic. And so just as an agency, some agencies are very specific in they take on certain types of projects or certain sizes of projects, or they're expert. For example, I work with one agency and they really focused on the automotive aftermarket. Are you driven by the project more than you're driven by the sector that the potential client is coming from?
Yes, and I know as a marketer we should segment but and target a certain area, but for me, I'm targeting those people that are with the same values as me. We have to have the similar values, and I just love the mix of different clients, and it gives my team so much more expertise and experience in things to be able to grow quicker as well. So yeah, for me, I do love the mix of all different clients we've got, but they all definitely share the same values as me, for sure.
I love that. So let's just focus on that for a moment, because I'm like you, I'm absolutely hot on values, and I've never had a problem turning a project down no matter what the size. And I've turned down some really big ones where it's just obvious to me when I'm sitting with that business founder that we're not aligned on values. And also, I think that he wants to treat me a bit like a servant. I say he because there've been blokes that have done it, that he wants to treat me a bit like a servant to his business. And I've just thought, you know, money is energy, and I'm not willing to give you my energy in exchange for your money. So let's just focus a bit on values, because tell me, what are the values of Amber Mountain Marketing? Because obviously they come from you, the founder, don't they? You cascade down. So what are those values that you hold dear as a business leader, as a woman, and obviously for Amber Mountain Marketing?
Yeah, I think for me, like a big value for me is making sure that it's team, like the communication of the team, the trust that you have within the team. That's so important. And I the value that I have is that we want to work with companies that really value their team as well. Again, as you say, you can go into a room and you see them talk to their member of staff in a certain way, and I'm like, this doesn't sit well with me. We're all equal in this world, and yes, people might be starting out in their career journey and people might have had loads of experience, but actually it's so important to remember that you were there once and we've got to support each other, and no one's better than anyone else. So I think that's a massive value for me in this world. And it's really important that they have the same value as that, for sure.
I love that. I love the fact that, and I completely identify with you, that everybody's equal. And also, I've found that when I've gone into organisations with my marketing hat on, I want to meet everybody in the team, mm-hmm. because everybody in that team has got something of value to contribute. And I think when you create a culture where people feel that their voice is there to be recognised and heard, it actually stimulates innovation. Some of the best ideas that have come to me when I've gone in with a client, I've come from the person that's on the phone or the person in customer service, is not the sort of highfalutin salesperson or even the MD. And so I like the fact that by valuing everybody, you give permission for everybody to shine, for their voice to be valued, but also I think you create a rich seam of ideas, of approaches, of thinking that you would otherwise have been completely denied had you not been so inclusive and welcoming. And I really think that the new leaders, you're that new breed of leader that it's like you value everybody. And that's not woolly, it's not soft. That is a powerful way of doing business, because you're championing everybody. And in doing so, you're actually inspiring people to think, I'm going to make a contribution, I'm going to say something. And it's made me mindful of some training that I did for a team where they were all terrified of the MD. And so the MD was in the training and I had to really rein him in. But I said to each team member, and I told the MD, I really don't want you contributing to this. I really would appreciate you listening. And I said, if the MD got run over tomorrow — there were a few raised eyebrows — if he got run over tomorrow, what would you do in this business to advance the marketing cause? The ideas we had back were fantastic, and the MD was slightly shamefaced. And it was almost a lesson to him that you need to shut up and listen to your people. So the fact that you've fostered this culture from the very outset means you're always going to get the best from your people. And I would imagine also it means that people don't leave Amber Mountain Marketing.
No, I mean, we've had a lot of people stay a long time, and we've got, I've got a great team at this moment, and they are really passionate. But I think this is a message that needs to be go to every business, because if you're trying to market a business, the internal marketing has to get right first. And those people, the people are your brand. So that's how I've always tried to make sure that I'm working with those people as well, because we can't market a business where every employee absolutely hates working there, because they're not going to get the sale at the end of the day if that's the case. So yeah, from my perspective, we work for so long of our lives, Dee, you should be able to enjoy it. I mean I'm not saying anyone's jumping for joy on a Sunday night to come to work with me, but on a Monday morning they're not absolutely have that you know, sick to the stomach. They've got to go into work. I want it to be an enjoyable place to come.
I love that. And I think there was an advertising campaign by a recruitment agency about there were no Monday morning blues. And I really liked that. Now, just before we've got a minute before the next break, I just want to briefly ask you how you've got quite an unusual position here. You're a business leader to your team. You're a mentor. You're even a friend. And you've got this wonderful, open, inclusive culture. A big one is, do you ever feel conflicted?
Yes, 100%. I do think with my heart too much, and I've really had to reflect on that and think with my head sometimes. Sometimes I've had people in my business that aren't right for the business, and I've kept them on because I like them as a person. But actually, if that's not the role for them, they shouldn't be there. And the same with clients as well. So I continuously feel conflicted about that. But I am being quite strict with it now, because I've seen when I have decided, you know, when someone's decided this isn't the right role for them, together we've decided that, they've gone on and shined somewhere else. It just wasn't their career move for them, especially the younger generation. They don't know yet. So from that perspective, the conflict is real. Head over heart is a real hard one for me to do, but it has to be done in business, unfortunately, sometimes.
You know, I agree with you. I think the sign of a great leader is that it's not a smooth path, that you do feel conflicted, and the fact that you actually look back over it and how you're thinking is so important. Now, we're coming up to the next break, and after the break, I'm going to be asking Emma a bit more about the type of leader she is. You've probably got a really good impression of that already. And we're going to be talking about Mint, Marketers in Need of Therapy, which is an initiative that has my full support, and why Emma founded it.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Lead Well, Live Well with me, Dee Blick, with the lovely Emma Ellis. And Emma, before we talk about Mint, which is just the best initiative I have heard of in donkey's years for marketers, and I so wish that Mint had been around when I started out, just tell me a little bit about the leadership traits that you have leaned into.
Yeah, I think when I started out, I tried to maybe put on a bit of a pretense of who I was, put on my posh voice, and spoke to people like I was the expert in certain areas, etc. And I wasn't really being myself. And I think the trait that I've really leaned into that, which you talk about loads in your book, is actually being real and being yourself, and that is enough. And if you know your vibe does attract your tribe, doesn't it? So you need to be being truly authentic and being yourself. And I think that's the bit I've leaned into. I think sometimes there was that doubt that actually I had to be someone I wasn't, and actually I'm good enough as I am. And if people don't like that, then they're not my people, and that's okay. That's absolutely fine. I also think it's really important to lead by example. You can't expect a team to, you know, play hard, work hard, or if you're not doing the same. You know, you can't put your feet up while everyone's working hard. You have to lead by example. So I think that's a bit that's really important. And just making sure people realize that it doesn't matter what age they are, And sometimes you just don't feel confident. And just because I'm running a business, don't think I don't feel like that too. It's really important to kind of champion confidence, but realize that actually we're all winging it a bit. We're all sometimes doing that. And then we're the swan on the water and like our legs are going underneath the water. It's really important to kind of remember that everybody, no matter where they are in the world, feels like that. And it's a normal kind of feeling.
I love that. And I think what comes through loud and clear to me, and it's something that I'm passionate about, is that you're a relatable, genuine, lovely person. And I think that business needs many more genuine, lovely, relatable people, because it goes back to what I said earlier, that when you become relatable and open and you're authentic, you inspire others to be lovely and authentic. And it's funny because I was writing an article yesterday. It was quite a frenzied afternoon. I'd got planned to prepare for a talk I was doing with the WI. And an editor wrote to me and said, you've got a full page in the magazine. If you can get it to me in the next 2 hours, cue me writing at breakneck speed. But I was talking about authenticity in the article and how it's so important for business leaders to be the best, most polished, authentic version of you. Because if you're just being you, but with your Sunday best on, then you don't have to remember how you behave, because you're just being you all the time. You're just showing up a little bit more polished, which is great. We expect that in business. But it's such a relief when we don't have to be anybody else, when we don't have to be. For example, I do a lot of professional speaking and I will do the odd fall over my words, a bit of bumbling, a bit of fumbling. And I just think, well, that's part of the territory that comes with me. Most of the time I can do a talk without looking at notes, but I just accept that I will fall over things. And I think you sharing that, what you're really saying as a leader is you want to be authentic and relatable. And for me, that is the new breed of leader. This notion that a leader is somebody that has like a dragon, they're snorting fire and steam and making people terrified. That was part of the culture when I was a young marketer, and they terrified me. The leaders absolutely terrified me. They were so remote. They were so judgmental that you didn't dare say a word. And that really takes me into Mint, Marketers in Need of Therapy. And this is how we initially connected, wasn't it? You asked me if I'd speak on a podcast, which I jumped at. So tell our listeners about this fantastic initiative and why you founded it.
Yeah, so obviously as running on a mountain, I speak to a lot of marketing managers, and usually it's the ones that are a lone marketing manager. They're downtrodden. They're kind of beaten up. They don't know what they're doing. They've really lost their confidence in themselves. And it's taken a lot for them usually to reach out to me. But usually all they needed was a little bit of backup from somebody to say, no, this is the right decision. I think you've probably experienced it yourself. Quite a lot of people think they're a marketer in different roles. And when you are that one marketing expert within a business, it can be a struggle to get your name out there and to kind of answer to those business leaders. So I decided to have some fun with it, and you need to bring the fun back in marketing. When you feel like that, how can you be creative? How can you go for it? So, you know, Marketers in Need of Therapy is a kind of, you know, a community where we can get together, kind of joke about what's going on with marketing, because it is changing so fast, and keeping up with AI, etc. But also just have that community and that support to realize you are blooming good enough to be a marketer. And actually the tease, we put therapy as a joke, and you know, when you need that, you need to be talking to people, but it's also that T stands for so much more: training, having a team around you, having those, you know, tutors and people around you that can really help. It's really, really important. So yeah, we've recently launched it, and we've got a lovely community, and we've already had so much amazing feedback of saying, you know, this has been a game changer. Just 15 minutes talking to other people has made me really, like, really excited to go back to work again. And that's what you want. You don't want these people that have spent years in marketing to just leave because they're feeling a little bit, and actually they just need that community around them.
So I love it, and I'm really honoured that you asked me if I would be a mentor and you sort of involved me at some small level. But just tell me, how do you see Mint evolving as a brand and as a service? Because it is a service, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. So we're going to launch a membership in on the 1st of March. And this is all around, these members can go to the website and they can log in and do training on anything that they think they're kind of weak in, so they can kind of get up to date. There's going to be lots of new training as well, because it changes so quickly. They'll be able to have support from a mentor. They'll be networking all the time. There's part of a WhatsApp group, so they can just chat to anybody anytime they wanted. You know, somebody just asked the other day, you know, what databases are you using? So we can kind of just help each other and support each other. And then there's also going to be a bit there where they can ask experts. So we've got experts in all different areas, and they can just reach out to them to ask that question. So it's, for me, it's just reassuring marketers that there is help out there. You cannot be an expert in everything, and that's okay. But if you have that network around you, I kind of say that another quote I love is, your network is your net worth. And I think that's quite an important one. So, just making sure that they have that community around them. So, yeah, that's the future of it. And I'm really excited to see it grow. And I want to have a big event, which I'm going to get you coming to, Dee, for sure, in London soon. So, we're growing it at the moment. But that's the kind of the plan for Mint.
I love it. And I think that when you initially approached me, I think I said to you, because you interviewed me for the podcast for the first Mint gathering, and you asked me about looking back on my career, what would I have loved? And I said a mentor. Mm-hmm. I think even more so for me, because I was consumed with fear of failure, and I was suddenly catapulted into a very responsible marketing role. And as I mentioned earlier, that the bosses were just so austere and judgmental. You'd be critiqued on your appearance. I had pretty bad body image at that time. And so to be told that, you know, you're looking a bit heavy, this is how people would speak to you then, you're a bit heavy, or the other thing was that I shouldn't be wearing trousers, I should wear skirts, and various other things that, thank the Lordy, are not prevalent today. But underscoring all of that was a feeling of aloneness. I was just one of three graduates, and we were in different departments, and I was parachuted into a department. And the gut-wrenching fear that I felt every single day of going into that department, sitting down and getting to know people as this new person. And for me, a mentor is so important, because a mentor is there as a buddy. They're not judgmental. They're there to guide and inspire you. I just wondered, do you have a mentor? Who's there putting an arm around Emma and saying, I've got you, babe, you're doing great?
Oh, I always have a coach, to be honest with you. That's something that really, really helps. I would say that I'm a strong, independent woman, but I would say it's very much down to my father and my husband, that are absolutely amazing people, and they always support me and have been amazing. My dad has been a great mentor to me. He had a tough life to start with, and how he's grown and what he's done has been amazing. But I think it is so important to have those people. I've got friends from school that are still lifelong friends as well, and just making sure I take the time out to spend time with them, that is my best therapy, to be honest with you. Laughter with friends that are also amazing women definitely does help. So you've got to have that support network around you, because it can be a lonely place as a business owner, for sure.
I love that you said about your husband, because my husband is very much yin and yang, that I'm typical ADHD, bouncing off the walls, full of enthusiasm. I can crash quite quickly, and my husband is so balanced and always gets me, never chastises me. He just listens, then he'll sort of put an arm around me. And I think having a supportive partner is so important. Now, before we flick the switch and you share the quote that you've got today and you ask me a question, I'd just like to ask you, as my final question, is what advice would you give to a woman starting out on her own today that you wish you'd heard in the early stages?
Right. Okay. So I think from my perspective, I think if I'd have realized earlier that everyone's winging it at the beginning, that would have made me feel more comfortable. I felt like I was the only one that didn't really know what I was doing as running a business. But majority of people that are just setting up a new business haven't run one before. And it's just really important to show, as you said earlier, show your weaknesses and talk to people and ask for help, because that drops the barriers of other people to kind of show that they're in the same boat. Definitely women business owners have helped me and supported me. And we've gone out and spoken about our challenges, and we've we've kind of had accountability sessions as well, which I think is really important. So finding your network, go out there and network. And it is scary, but actually you'll find the right network for you. And when you do, that's where you build those relationships and start to really believe in yourself. So, yeah, for me, it's about, you know, a little bit still. And when you're starting out in a business, everyone's doing the same thing.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think what's so lovely about the advice you've just given there, it's not highfalutin, it's practical advice that we can take and we can run with. Right, tell me now, we're at that stage in the show, I'd like to hear your inspiring quote and who you attribute it to.
It is an old one, but it's my favourite one. I use it probably all the time with my staff and my children and myself. But it's good old Henry Ford. Whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. And I think that's a real mindset thing for a lot of people. People, I can't do that. I can't do that. We can. What's the plan? We can. Everything's figure outable. How can we do it? And it always sticks with me, that one, for sure.
I love it. I love it. Now, I don't know what your question is. I love this bit. I haven't got a clue what question I'm going to be asked. So I've got to be really like on my best peak, ready to answer. What's your question for me?
So my question for you is that you have written 6 books. You're about to do a TED talk. You've got this amazing radio segment. You're heading up the magazine as well. And all of this has been done in your 60s, and you're so inspirational, but you always have so much energy. And I think that energy is like it bounces off you and brings on to others. But is this just a natural energy, or do you have habits and boundaries, or mindset shifts to keep you excited and full of life? How do you do it, Dee?
Wow, gosh. I mean, how do I do it? I sometimes don't know how I do it, but... I guess my base point is enthusiasm, that I'm a real enthusiast. And if I like the sound of something, I will throw myself into it. And I think also I'm quite tenacious, that I will see it through. If I'm enthusiastic, I've got to see it through to the end. And part of reaching my 60s, I started writing books back in 2007. So that's, 18 years ago? And I've written 2 in the last year. And part of that is I'm at the stage in my life where I'm doing what I want to do now. And I'm aware, without being dramatic, that the years ahead of me are less than the years behind me. So I want to make every day count. Another part of me is perhaps a bit more, I guess, was it philanthropic or altruistic, that I really love the idea of sharing all the good stuff that I've learned. And so my books are a way for me to share with thousands of people worldwide all the bits and bobs along the way that have really helped me as a marketer and the clients that I work with. And I think that's it. Energy. I think I have a lot of energy apart from the end of the day, when all I want to do is flop on the settee with the remote control and a cup of tea. I'd love to tell you that I go to the gym, I do 10,000 steps. I don't. I really don't. It's a cup of tea on the settee at the end of the day, maybe a mosey to the supermarket or a quick walk into town as my downtime. But I just think life is short and it's precious, and we really owe it to ourselves to live our very best life and to feel fulfilled and happy. How does that sound?
That's amazing. That's why you're inspirational, Dee. I agree. It's amazing.
Well, Emma, it has been absolutely lovely to have you on the show today. I'm going to bid you farewell now, but we'll carry on chatting. I think what you're doing with Mint is fantastic. I love your ethos and the culture that you've created in your business. So long may you prosper. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Right. I hope you've enjoyed my interview there with the lovely Emma. And I just want to round off today's show talking about self-belief. Now, last year, I took on a marketing mastermind group of 8 businesses, and they were fantastic business owners that were lacking in confidence. And it was clear to me that they didn't have the self-belief that could propel them onto success. So I went away one afternoon. I thought, well, what does self-belief look like to me? And I managed to create what I call the 8 pillars of self-belief, which I've since shared in Health Triangle magazine, which is the partner publication to UK Health Radio. And I just want to share with you the 8 pillars of self-belief. And I hope it resonates with you that if you're in a spot at the moment where you've perhaps not been that kind to yourself, you've been very critical or judgmental of yourself, you're not realizing how amazing you truly are, then take a pit stop with these 8 little pillars of self-belief. Number one is I want you to acknowledge the evidence, which is your abundance in action. So basically, just acknowledge how great you are, all the amazing things that you've done and that you continue to bring to the table. Number two is be willing to change. Now, I'm not talking about dramatic change, but small nips and tucks. Are you perhaps saying no when you should be saying not now, but in the future, or you should be saying yes? Often just tiny shifts in our mindset and thinking can help us move to an altogether better, more prosperous place where we feel happier. Number three is a biggie. I want you to practice self-kindness. Wow. Be kind to yourself. Don't be so harsh. Don't be so judgmental. You're deserving of the kindness that you share with others and that you show to others. Number four, this is a massive thing for me, and Emma touched upon this in our interview. Commit to learning. You know, in your field, we don't know everything, do we? But nothing stops us from getting on that journey which says, I'm going to accrue learning in my little rucksack as I go along, because when I learn more, I become more confident, and that in turn fuels my self-belief. Number five, I want you to be willing to challenge your negative chatterbox. Oh, goodness me, that's been with me all my life. And sometimes it's just damping down the quiet and saying, you know what, I hear you, but I'm turning the volume down today and I'm introducing an altogether more positive voice. Number six, a big thing for me, practice daily affirmations. I've got friends that practice Buddhist affirmations. For me, it's more things like, you've got this, girl, I'll stand in front of the mirror, you've got this, you're amazing. Go for it. However affirmations show up for you, whether you want to create your own or lean on some that you've read in books, it doesn't matter. Just get into the habit of feeding your mind with these positive affirmations. And number seven, this is something that Emma touched on in our interview. Build a like-minded, supportive community. So surround yourself with people that get you, that love you, that you can be inspired by, and they also can be inspired by you, because when you're feeling a bit floppy or you're not quite believing of yourself, these people will be there for you. And finally, embrace the utter tiger mindset. This goes back to what I was saying about life being short and precious. We've got to go for it. So I leave you today with this final comment. I want you to step into your circle of power, supported by my pillars of self-belief. It's your time to shine. That's me, Dee, and I'll be here with you next week with some more amazing guests. Thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to Lead Well, Live Well on UK Health Radio.